This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We got a lot to do today, but it's going to be mainly on three things: the two playoff games, to go to the Super Bowl, of course, and a very sad thing at a very inopportune time. Joe Paterno passed away this weekend. We'll get into that. And obviously there's no good time to pass away, but because of what had happened there, and we'll get into that in more detail later, Paterno did have a chance to speak, kind of, but he was obviously gravely ill at the time. But we'll get into that a little later. First, the two football games on Sunday, two classic football games, frankly. Pats in Baltimore in New England, 49ers and Giants in San Francisco. I'm a Giants guy, so we're going to start with the Baltimore at New England game. The Patriots escape, and I think escape is a good word, fantastic game, both games fantastic games, but the Patriots on Sunday playing at home where Baltimore had buried them 33-14 2 years ago, beat the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots 23, Baltimore Ravens 20. Patriots now go to their fifth Super Bowl in 11 years. They are 3-1 in the Super Bowl. You know the one they lost to the Giants, and of course you know the Giants are going to be their opponents this year. That ruined the season, the perfection season that would have been the perfection season to end all seasons. But the Patriots yesterday survive 23-20. A very exciting game. Obviously, hard-nosed defense from Baltimore, but certainly you have to understand by now, we've talked about it for weeks, that the Patriots' defense is just getting better. You know, a lot of people said last week that they played well against Denver, that it was just Denver and you couldn't take anything away from the game and things of that nature. But the reality to me was they showed that they could put big bodies up front like they used to in their Super Bowl winning years. They showed that they could stop the run. And yesterday they were able to pretty much control Ray Rice. Rice, 21 rushes for 67 yards. His longest rush of the day was 12 yards. And that's the blueprint now for the Patriots. You can bet they'll try the same thing against the Giants in 2 weeks. But the Patriots were able to stop the run last week against Denver. Obviously a different kind of team with Tim Tebow. Joe Flacco played really well. You know, it's interesting. Everybody was killing Flacco. Once again, the only voice I heard standing up for Joe Flacco was Phil Simms. And we've talked about Phil Simms as the only voice saying Andrew Luck may not be able to make all those NFL throws. When Phil Simms is the only voice, I think you still have to really listen to him because he knows more than just about anyone. Easily the best NFL analyst, a great quarterback in his own right. So when he talks, I think you got to listen. And what he said was that Joe Flacco really didn't make many mistakes last week when he was killed. He was sacked 5 times. He was killed for not playing well, for being nervous, for being afraid. And none of that is true. You could see Joe Flacco after, even in defeat, he was like, I play the way I play. I play the same way pretty much all the time. You can go watch the film. And that's, in essence, what Phil Simms had been saying all this time. Flacco yesterday, 22 for 36, 306 yards, 2 TDs, 1 interception. He actually outplayed Tom Brady, and I think Tom Brady would be the first to admit that. But a very exciting game. New England was able to move the ball. When they got into the red zone, they stalled a little. They took a lead on a field goal, 3-0. Then Ladarius Webb picked off Brady, the first of 2 interceptions Brady would throw. Flacco threw a long pass to Torrey Smith, 42 yards. If he had let him, it would have been a touchdown, but he didn't. But that led to a field goal. It was 3-3 after the first quarter. Then the Patriots changed things up a little bit. They saw something where they could run Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and they ran the ball down the field. Green Ellis, 15 rushes for 68 yards, but on this particular TD drive in the second quarter, he had a ton of yards. He had an 11-yard run. Eventually, he had a 7-yard touchdown run early in the second to make the score. New England 10, Baltimore 3. But then Flacco came back. He hit Anquay Boldin for 37 yards. He hit Pitta, the tight end, for a 7-yard touchdown pass to tie the game at 10. And again, this had all the makings. You know, we don't talk about betting lines much here, but we did talk about them a little bit on Friday. And I thought the Patriots would win the game, but that Baltimore plus 7.5 was an excellent bet. And, of course, that's exactly what it turned out to be. You didn't have to be a gambler to know that. You just had to watch Ravens-Patriots games in the past. The Patriots were not going to let the Ravens blow them out like they did 2 years ago. And I don't think the Patriots, frankly, with Baltimore's great defense, although Brady moved the ball well, I didn't think the Patriots could blow out Baltimore either. It figured both games figured to be a field goal game. And, yes, I like the Giants with the points in the other game. Obviously, that could have gone either way. We'll get into that in a minute. But 10-10 then, the Patriots drive the ball down the field a couple times, but can't punch it into the end zone, a difficult place to score on Baltimore in the red zone. But the Patriots go ahead 16-10 in the third quarter. But then Flacco drives Baltimore down the field again, pass to Lee Evans, who was virtually invisible during the regular season. He made that great one-handed catch last week, you'll recall. But he hits Evans for 12 yards. He hits Pitta again for 8 yards. Then on a 3rd-and-3, he hits Torrey Smith, and he scores a touchdown. Baltimore 17, Patriots 16. And then one of the keys plays of the game, Danny Woodhead, always reliable, Danny Woodhead gets stripped of the ball on the kickoff return at the 29-yard line. Baltimore recovers, and frankly, if they score there, that would be big problems for the Patriots if they score a touchdown. But the Patriots D holds. Flacco runs the ball down to the 11, but they can't punch the ball in the end zone. They have to settle for a field goal. I thought that was a key stop of a touchdown. Baltimore goes ahead 20-16 going to the fourth quarter. Then Brady, being Brady, drives the Patriots down the field. They have first and goal, very close. Brady tries to sneak in. Looks like he gets in on second down, but his knee is down. They review the play, and he's at the half-yard line. They try and run Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis off the right side. He is stopped cold, but they have to go for it, and Brady goes over the top. And boy, did that look like a dangerous play to me. Brady literally flips over the top, and as he's coming down, he gets hammered. But he scores the touchdown, obviously another key play in the game. Patriots 23, Baltimore 20, but still a lot of football to keep playing. The next possession, Brandon Spikes makes an unbelievable interception of Flacco, a one-handed grab. Again, I thought Flacco played really well. He certainly outplayed Brady. But Spikes with an interception, you think then maybe the Patriots can go down and score. But on the first play, they go for it all. They go for the bomb, and they try and hit Slater deep. But Jimmy Smith picks off the Brady bomb. It was actually tipped by Pollard in the air. Jimmy Smith comes up with it in the end zone, then runs it back about 30, 35 yards. So the Ravens have another chance. And then this was a very interesting play in the game. 4th-and-6 on the Patriots 23. Are they going to try a 50-yard field goal? Are they going to go for it? San Francisco winds up calling timeout. I'm sorry, did I say San Francisco? Baltimore winds up calling timeout, and they have to think about it. John Harbaugh decides to go for it on 4th-and-6, but the Patriots blitz. They bring a ton of pressure. Flacco has to wind up just kind of flinging it towards the sidelines. You know, it almost looked like he was throwing it out of bounds, which I think is a mistake on 4th-and-6. You might as well take a shot down the field, and if they pick it off, they pick it off. But in any event, the Patriots decide not to go for a 50-yard field goal, maybe a 51-yard field goal. They go for it on 4th-and-6 from the Pats 33. They do not score. They do not make the first down. And again, the Patriots take over, and you think that's going to be it. But give the Ravens credit. They hold the Patriots. Baltimore gets the ball one more time. Flacco hits Boldin. Flacco hits Boldin again. And then they're down deep in Patriots territory. Flacco hits Lee Evans in the end zone, and it certainly looks like a touchdown, but somehow Sterling Moore, who was on the practice squad a month ago for the Patriots, knocks it out of Evans' hands. If you saw the replay in super slow motion, you saw it just before Evans had both feet down with the ball for it to be a touchdown. Sterling Moore is able to get his hand in there and knock it down. Then on the very next play, it's Sterling Moore again who stops a completion on like the 2-yard line. Just amazing. You got to give the Patriots a lot of credit defensively. And then Billy Cundiff comes out to kick. See, I wouldn't call this a chip shot. People say it's a chip shot, but to me, anything over 30 yards. This was only 32 yards, I understand. But Billy Cundiff, a very reliable kicker, a very good kicker, comes out to kick a 32-yard field goal, which you were sure was going to send the game into overtime. And he just hooked it badly off his foot. It looked like it was going to be good, but it just kind of broke rapidly and did not go through the uprights. I give Cundiff a lot of credit after the game. Stand-up guy, just said, I didn't convert. I should have kicked it. I've done it 1,000 times. I just didn't do it tonight. Ray Lewis, to his credit, said Billy Cundiff didn't lose the game. It's the old, we didn't lose the game on one play or one player. But, of course, had he kicked it through, Patriots get the ball back 11 seconds left and take a knee, of course. But had he kicked it through, of course, there would have been overtime. So I give Billy Cundiff a lot of credit. I give Ray Lewis a lot of credit. But at the end of the day, the Patriots escape. And to me, that's what they did. They escaped. Patriots 23, Baltimore 20. Now, Cundiff kicks the field goal. That doesn't say Baltimore's going to win. That doesn't say the Patriots are going to win. It's the old, you never know what's going to happen. But clearly that missed kick was a big problem and the main problem. Lots went wrong for both sides in the game. Again, Tom Brady, 22 for 36, 239 yards, no touchdowns, which is an amazing stat in and of itself, two interceptions. Baltimore wins the turnover battle. They turn the Patriots over three times, the Woodhead fumble, which was a big fumble, two Tom Brady interceptions. Flacco threw one pick, and that was it. No other turnovers, so very unusual. Baltimore wins the turnover battle 3-1, but they lose the game 23-20, sending the Patriots to the Super Bowl. And, you know, this was a big win for the Patriots. Everybody thought they would beat Denver last week, and they hammered Denver last week. But you go back to last year, they lost to the Jets in Foxborough. You go back the year before, the Ravens embarrass them in Foxborough. You go back the year before that Brady missed, the Patriots won 11 games during the regular season and did not make the playoffs. And you go back the year before that, of course, the magical 18-0, which was blown up by the Giants in the Super Bowl, so they finished 18-1. But now the Patriots are back. To me, they remind me a little bit of the Yankees, frankly. You know, the Yankees won those four championships in 5 years through 2000. They lost in the ninth inning of 2001. And then they didn't win a World Series again until 2009. I think there are some parallels, at least in the last decade or so. Maybe, you know, the Yankees going back to 96, last 15 years. But I think there are parallels between the Patriots of today and the Yankees, at least through their last World Series victory in 2009. But the Patriots get their job done. Again, it was a total team effort. If you heard Brady interviewed after the game, he couldn't say it more. I was terrible. I stunk. The defense won the game. And if you watched early, and they pointed this out certainly at halftime in detail, Dan Marino, Boomer Esiason, great quarterbacks in their own right, pointed out how Brady was just not having a Brady-like game, that he missed Gronkowski wide open over the middle. He missed Aaron Hernandez wide open. He made some un-Brady-like throws. Now, Brady does that from time to time. And you don't know he's got that bad right shoulder. Remember, he didn't practice on Wednesday this past week. I'm sorry, bad left shoulder. I take it back, the non-throwing shoulder. And you got to wonder if that bothers him a little bit just to make his throws a little off, because you rarely see a wide-open Patriot receiver, and Brady misses him, and misses him on a couple of occasions significantly. Again, Gronkowski early in the game. The other concern for the Patriots is Gronkowski got hurt his ankle, came back into the game to his credit, obviously the biggest game of the year, the biggest game of his career to get to a Super Bowl. They really keyed on him, I thought. But Gronkowski, 5 receptions for 87 yards, Wes Welker, 6-for-53. Hernandez, the other tight end, 7-for-66. Green Ellis, a good game, 15-for-68 and a touchdown. That's kind of what they needed. Danny Woodhead, 6-for-18. On the Ravens side, as we said, Rice, 21-for-67. Receiving, Bolden, 6 receptions for 101 yards. Pitta, 5-for-41 in the TD. Smith, 3-for-82 and a TD. So I think the Ravens played really well. The Patriots got the break at the end when Cundiff missed the relatively easy field goal, 32 yards, not a chip shot, I don't care what anyone says. But at the end of the day, the Patriots once again go back to where they think they should be, and I did pick the Patriots to win the Super Bowl before the season started. We talked about it on this show. So I'm going to obviously have to pick them in 2 weeks. I think that's a toss-up game. We'll get to that later. But the Patriots 23, the Ravens 20, the Patriots go on to Indianapolis to the Super Bowl. The Ravens go home to think about what could have been, frankly. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Of course, the other game yesterday, the Giants, the late game, go out to play the 49ers, and the Giants come away with an unbelievable overtime victory. Giants 20, 49ers 17, greatly aided by a couple of turnovers on special teams by the 49ers. Obviously, that was much later in the game, but another fantastic game. You know, the 49ers, what Jim Harbaugh has done there, talk about changing the culture of a team in 1 year. Alex Smith, who's had seven offensive coordinators in seven seasons, but was, you'll recall, the number one pick in the draft and looked lost at times. I've heard more than one expert say, had he not been the number one pick of the draft, he would have been long out of the league. But they kept going with him, and different coaches went back to him. But Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, was confident in his ability. Certainly he showed last week that he can play. Certainly in my mind he showed yesterday that he can play against a very, very tough Giants defense. But at the end of the day, the Giants beat the 49ers 20-17. It got off real good for the 49ers in the first quarter. Vernon Davis, who's become a star in the league, who's a tight end with wide receiver speed. I mean, he ran kind of a wheel route and just totally ran right by Antrell Roll. Caught a pass, nobody could catch him, 73-yard touchdown pass to give the 49ers a 7-0 lead after one. But Eli's Eli, and he drove the Giants down the field. And look, I never said Eli Manning was an elite quarterback before this season, but he played like an elite quarterback this year. You got to give him a lot of credit no matter what happens in the Super Bowl. Now, you know the complaint I've had, the Giants are 7-7. The fact that a 7-7 team can play and then win the Super Bowl just kind of troubles me. This is the way the world is. It's not just football. A lot of teams that are mediocre through most of the year, you know, they make it, oh, we make the big run at the end. But once upon a time, only the best teams, even the team 7-7, 8-8, 9-7 at the end of the year, had no chance to be in the playoffs. You know, once upon a time, there were only a couple teams in the playoffs. The best example, of course, in baseball, before the divisions in 69. You had two eight-team leaves. The winners played in the World Series. That was it. And the reason I like that, obviously, is because the best teams played. The teams that were best over 154 and then 162 games played. It's not like that anymore. The Giants were 7-7, finished 9-7, won their conference. Look, the Broncos were 8-8, won their conference and a playoff game. And you know the best example, the Seahawks last year was 7-9 and won a playoff. But that's all irrelevant. This is the system we have. Every sport wants to give as many teams as possible hope. You can be mediocre. The Philadelphia Eagles were 4-8, had a chance to win the division at 8-8, and if they had been in the playoffs, they could have won the Super Bowl, and that would have been a total disgrace in my view. It's no longer about being the best team throughout the season. It's obviously about being the best team at the right time. This is the right time, and the Giants have played out of their minds. Their final two games, which were in effect elimination games against the Jets and Dallas. And then, of course, now in the playoffs, they've been unbelievable, beating Atlanta, beating the 15-1 Packers, beating the 13-3 49ers. You can't say enough about the Giants. Tom Coughlin coaches pretty much as long as he wants. Eli Manning certainly entered elite status this year. If he gets another one, now, you know, the questions for both coach and quarterback go from elite to is he a Hall of Famer? But we can talk about that another time. But the Giants, 20, 49ers, 17, after Smith hit Vernon Davis with that 73-yard touchdown, Eli hits Victor Cruz for 35 yards on a 3rd-and-4. He hits Cruz for a first down. And then deep in San Francisco territory, he hits Bear Pasco, yes, Bear Pasco, for a 6-yard touchdown that ties the game at 7. Then late in the second quarter, the Giants get the ball back. He hits Cruz for 15. He hits Cruz again for 10. He hits Cruz again. It sets up just before halftime a Lawrence Tynes 31-yard field goal to give the Giants the lead at the half on the road 10-7. But in the third quarter, Alex Smith plays very well, hits Frank Gore for 24 yards, then hits Vernon Davis for a 28-yard touchdown pass. Again, you know the ball's going to Davis. They still couldn't stop him. 49ers 14, Giants 10, and then it got interesting. Because Ted Ginn was hurt, Ted Ginn, one of the best punt returners in the game, because he got hurt, Kyle Williams, a second-year player who's actually a very good player. You know, you feel bad for Kyle Williams, but this is the game he's in. But this was a bizarre play. This was much worse than the later play when he got stripped. This was a play where Weatherford punted. It wasn't clear whether the ball hit Kyle Williams or not. It should have been clear to Kyle Williams, I would think. I mean, I don't know if he was just acting or he made like it didn't hit him. But the ball hit Kyle Williams. Devin Thomas comes in, picks it up, runs it into the end zone. Of course, you can't move that ball forward, but the ruling on the field was just it didn't touch Kyle Williams. Dead ball, 49ers ball, but Tom Coughlin challenged. Then they had 12 different replays. In fact, someone commented on the fact that there were so many, I think it was on SportsCenter, that there were so many more cameras for a playoff game that they had a couple of super slow motion shots that clearly showed it deflected, that the ball changed direction when it was near Kyle Williams' body, which means it had to hit his knee. Devin Thomas is a hero in this game for the Giants because he picked that one up. You can't move it forward, but you can pick it up, and that's a recovery for the Giants. So the Giants get the ball down 14-10 in the fourth quarter. And then on a 3rd-and-15 from the 17-yard line, what a pass by Eli to Mario Manningham. Manningham's only reception of the day, but a gigantic one in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, a 17-yard TD reception, again on 3rd-and-15. So the Giants go ahead 17-14. Then the 49ers get the ball back. The Giants rush three. You know, I hate this play in all of these games. The Giants rush three, but it gave, when you rush three, I'm sorry, it just gives the quarterback too much time. Eventually, Smith would complete a couple of passes. He ran for 17 yards, but then he drove the ball all the way down to the Giant 11, and then 3rd-and-5 from the Giant 11. If you saw the game, Jim Harbaugh was trying to get a timeout, couldn't get it. Alex Smith threw a little out to Michael Crabtree for Crabtree's only reception of the game, just bizarre, but Crabtree only got a couple of yards, maybe three. He was short of the first down by about 2 yards. And then that led to the game-tying field goal at 17. Of course, obviously, the 49ers were hoping to end the game right then and there. And then what happens is the Giants call tails, win the coin flip, but they have a 3rd-and-6. Eli throws an incomplete pass. They have to punt. 49ers get the ball on 3rd down. Alex Smith hits Davis with a pass short of the first. They have to punt. Obviously, everybody's playing it safe. You're not going in your own territory, 4th-and-short. The next play, Eli trying to make something happen, gets sacked. The Giants have to punt. That's their second possession of the overtime. Obviously, after the Giants don't score, it's sudden death after that. Even a field goal wins the game. But the Giants punt. Weatherford again, the jet cast-off, if you will, probably laughing his head off that he's in the Super Bowl now. But Weatherford punts. This time Kyle Williams catches the ball. He's stripped by Daquan Williams. The ball is recovered again by who? Devin Thomas, who recovered the, who picked up the ball that glanced off Williams' knee prior to that. To me, he's a double hero now, but Daquan Williams gets the strip. And so the Giants have the ball. You know, some people thought they were just going to come in and kick a field goal from like 40 yards or something, but that was a little far for Tom Coughlin's liking. So Bradshaw ran the ball a couple of times. He got it all the way down to like the 13-yard line, I think it was. Then after those two runs, Eli Manning just takes the snap, moves left to center the ball, lines it up for a field goal for Lawrence Tynes, which I think originally was 26 yards, believe it or not. The Giants had to delay a game penalty, if you can believe that. So the field goal winds up being from 31 yards for Lawrence Tynes. He hits it inside the right upright, not dead down the middle, but irrelevant. Lawrence Tynes, once again, as he did 4 years ago against the Packers in overtime, kicks the New York Giants into the Super Bowl. Steve Weatherford, who had an unbelievable game punting, also is the holder. If you saw the replay, obviously it was a low snap, difficult to handle, but he did a great job. Tynes kicks it through. Giants 20, 49ers 17. I mean, look, no matter who you root for, a fantastic football game. Don't know what more you could ask for. These were two very good games. This particular game, two excellent defenses. Again, whatever you hear about the Giants and why they're good, they're in the Super Bowl because they're healthy. They had Bradshaw and Jacobs again. Not great, but good enough. When they're both healthy, they're a much better running back tandem. You know, Bradshaw, Lightning, Jacobs, Thunder, and people will question if Jacobs is Thunder, but that's the theory anyway. And also their defensive line and Michael Boley got healthy. So Manning's been great all year. Again, has played like an elite quarterback all year. But I think it's because of the health of the running backs. The offensive line has played well. And the health of the defensive line, they make those defensive backs look a lot better when they can put pressure on the quarterback. Eli, what can you say? Wet weather, little cold, little rainy, 32 for 58, 316 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Bradshaw, a good game, 20 rushes for 74 yards. That's very good against the 49ers. Jacobs only 5 for 13. Receiving, Victor Cruz continues to be a star. I mean, you can't say anything about it. The fact that this guy didn't make a Pro Bowl was laugh out loud funny. 10 receptions for 142 yards and some key catches. Seemed like Manning made every third down completion for a first down. Bradshaw out of the backfield, 6 for 52. Hakeem Nicks, 5 for 55. And, of course, Manningham with that one, just one, but a gigantic touchdown reception for the Giants. For the 49ers, Alex Smith, 12 for 26, 196 yards, two touchdowns. Frank Gore, I thought the Giants did a good, I mean, Frank Gore rushed 16 times for 74 yards, but his long was 11. I thought the Giants did a very good job on him. Smith went six rushes for 42 yards. Hunter, 4 for 31, but I thought the Giants overall did a good job receiving. Gore, 6 for 45 out of the backfield, but the main man was and is Vernon Davis, who was unbelievable last week with two TD catches, and was unbelievable this week, three catches for 112 yards and two touchdowns. Vernon Davis, to me, is a star in the league now, as is Victor Cruz. Again, sometimes people come late to the party to see this. Cruz has been the star of the last eight games. Davis, and you'll recall, and they did show the flashback, you'll recall, Davis is the guy that Singletary took out of the game and told him to get off the bench and go to the locker room. Davis, to his credit, said that helped him, didn't hurt him. Davis got an unbelievably stupid penalty for excessive celebration. He jumped up on some kind of stanchion or something after he caught the first touchdown pass, and he got another stupid penalty later, so he still got some maturing to do. But as a football player, he is a star. Alex Smith has come a long way. He played well. The 49ers are going to be heard from again. This was like a knockdown, drag-out, old-time Giants 49ers playoff game, frankly. Giants 20, 49ers 17. That sets up a Giants-Patriots Super Bowl rematch, obviously, of 4 years ago. We'll talk about that game just a little now. We'll do more towards the end of the week and, of course, next week. But the Giants 20, the 49ers 17. We'll do a little Super Bowl first thoughts when we come back. And we're also going to talk about the death of Joe Paterno in the third segment, because Paterno was a great American and an icon. And yes, he had something go wrong at the end. We still don't know the scope of that. But I think now's the time to praise Joe Paterno. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it. 24-7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Holiday shopping has never been easier thanks to Best Buy and SportsTalkNetwork.com. Free shipping, free store pickup, daily deals, and Best Buy's extended holiday price match and return guarantee now through January 24th are waiting for you by clicking the Best Buy tile on any SportsTalkNetwork.com webpage. Order your gifts online and pick them up in as little as 45 minutes from your local Best Buy. Laptops to desktops, iPods to iPads, TVs, home entertainment systems and appliances, and much more. Visit SportsTalkNetwork.com. Click the Best Buy tile and start your holiday shopping today. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll do a couple of minutes now. Super Bowl preview. We have a lot of time to talk about it, obviously. But first thoughts, apparently the opening line is Patriots 3.5 over the Giants. We'll have to see where that line goes. I heard somebody say that those lines were made up before the games were played yesterday, which strikes me as a little weird, but I guess that's how they do it, so everybody can get in early. Again, I'm not a big gambler, but this is going to be a very close game. You can make a case the Giants will be favored. But it's very interesting because if you recall the last time they played, the Patriots were 18-0. They had beaten the Giants the last game of the season. That was the semi-controversial game where there was a big debate, at least in New York, should the Giants rest their regulars, should they try, blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter for either team, but Tom Coughlin played them tough. The Patriots did win that game, 38-35. It was an exciting game, but the Giants showed, I think, to themselves more than anyone that they could certainly play with the Patriots. I don't think anyone really thought the Giants were going to win outright, or at least they were. Certainly they were a heavy underdog, and the Patriots were undefeated, and Tom Brady did lead them down the field very late in the game, but Eli Manning escaped that sack and threw that pass to David Tyree that Tyree caught against his helmet. And then Plaxico was wide open in the end zone to win the Super Bowl for the Giants. I mean, a very exciting game. But it's interesting because now the parallels are not the same. If anything, you could make a case they're more in the Giants' favor. The Giants went up to New England this year and beat the Patriots. But I'll say it again. The Patriots' defense slaughtered all year, has been getting better the last month. Can do a good job on the running game. They proved it against Denver. They proved it again yesterday against Ray Rice, who had more yards in his first carry 2 years ago than he had in the whole game yesterday. So I think the Patriots' defense is coming at the right time. Of course, their offense is unbelievable. Now Gronkowski yesterday hurt his ankle, came back and played, was seen in a walking boot after the game. Someone snapped some pictures. So you have to worry about him because he is a huge part of what they do. But, to me, if you're going to compare it to 2 years ago, 4 years ago, all things are in the favor of the Giants. But I don't think you can look at things really that way. A few notes about the Giants. Now, again, Eli Manning, elite quarterback this year. And you can make a case if they counted the playoffs in the MVP voting that he could be the MVP of the league. I know it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but Eli has been unbelievable. He set the all-time National Football League record for most passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter with 15 this year. That's the all-time record. He now, as a quarterback, has 5 road playoff wins. That's an all-time record. And, of course, and this is an interesting stat in and of itself, he broke his tie of 4 road playoff wins all-time. He's tied with Mark Sanchez of the Jets. So you're not going to compare Sanchez to Eli, although some people will compare Sanchez early in his career to Eli early in his career. But in any event, Eli now stands alone. He has the all-time record for most TD passes in the fourth quarter during the regular season. He holds the all-time NFL record for road playoff wins. Now, again, when you go back and look at the history of the NFL playoffs years ago, there was only like one playoff game or two playoff games. There were, you know, very few road games compared to today. You can get three shots on the road before you play the neutral site, the Super Bowl. Of course, the coaching matchup is interesting. Coughlin against Belichick, both from the Bill Parcells tree of coaches, if you will. Both were Giant assistants under Parcells. A few other things. You know, the Giants are now 5-0 in NFC Championship games. That's a pretty amazing stat. The Giants are 3-1 in Super Bowls. Tom Coughlin now has 7 road wins in the playoffs as a coach. You know, he goes back to Jacksonville where he was successful. Never got to Super Bowl with Jacksonville, but was successful 2 AFC Championship games. He now has 7 road wins. That ties Tom Coughlin for the all-time road wins record with Tom Landry, of course, of the Cowboys all those years, another great coach. So the Giants, Coughlin, Eli are getting into some rarefied air, but Belichick and Brady are even hoping to get into more rarefied air by winning a 4th Super Bowl. This Super Bowl, of course, the Pats 3-1 in the Super Bowl in the Brady-Belichick era. This is the 5th time the Belichick-Brady coach-quarterback combination is in the Super Bowl. That's the highest coach-quarterback appearance in the Super Bowl ever. Brady had a streak of 18 playoff games in a row with at least one touchdown pass stopped yesterday. He does not, you know, the Ravens do a good job on Brady. He also won his 16th playoff game that ties him with his hero, Joe Montana. So what can you say? I mean, this is an unbelievable matchup. But it's also a rematch of 4 years ago. You bet the Patriots are looking for some payback. Obviously, they just want to win the Super Bowl. They don't care that it's the Giants that much, but it'll be a little sweeter, I think, if they can actually win the Super Bowl against the Giants, and they'll take themselves into more rarefied air than Coughlin and Eli will. You know, you're already hearing the Eli-Peyton comparisons now. Peyton only has one Super Bowl. I still don't think Eli's the quarterback Peyton has been. We'll see how he comes back from injury, if he comes back from injury. But Eli Manning this year, you know, there's that famous interview with Michael Kay on ESPN Radio at the beginning of the year where Michael Kay asked Eli if he thought he was an elite quarterback, and Eli said yes. On the one hand, he was mocked by many. On the other hand, what's he going to say, no? Again, when you ask these people these questions, you got to ask yourself, well, what's he going to say? No, I'm not an elite quarterback. I'm 11th in the league, and it's preposterous. But Eli Manning this year, he's always been a very good NFL quarterback. I mean, the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. But this year, he took it to a new level. He was huge in the fourth quarter. He's been unbelievable in the playoffs. He was unbelievable yesterday. You got to give him a lot of credit. He's upped his game and has always upped his game in the two-minute drill, in the fourth quarter, in the big spot. So it'll be Eli Manning against Tom Brady. It'll be Tom Coughlin against Bill Belichick. And I'm sure all of those people would say to you, it'll really be the New York Football Giants against the New England Patriots in Indianapolis on February 5th. Again, we'll spend a lot more time on this, but I think, you know, there's going to be some interesting. The Giants are healthy for the first time. The Patriots' defense the last few games has come on really for the first time all year. I talked about Patrick Chung. You didn't hear his name a lot yesterday. He was in on a couple of big tackles, but Patrick Chung, to me, solidifies their secondary. He missed a bunch of games in the middle of the year. And while the Patriots statistically were 31st or whatever they were, they could still clamp down when it was really time to clamp down. I mean, to me, they have a very good defense. Not a great defense, but they have a good to very good defense. And again, it's all about how you're playing now. And the last two games, they have been very good. Joe Flacco is better than you think, as Phil Simms. I think Phil Simms was 100% right. His Flacco analysis, again, this is what I love about Phil Simms. You have very few guys in any sport, commentator, talk show host, analyst, whatever, who can really see through the garbage, who really have the insight, who really know. Very few guys with independent thoughts. Very few guys who want to walk against the crowd. Phil Simms is one of them. It's interesting. He walks against the crowd on Andrew Luck, the only voice in the wilderness. We'll see. But he had a staunch defense. He was on Mike Francesa's show in New York Sunday morning. He had a staunch defense of Joe Flacco. He said, I challenge anyone to look at the passes he threw the week before and tell me where he made big mistakes. He was under pressure all week, all game. He got sacked five times. I thought he played well. Yet Flacco was killed. And Flacco does seem a little sensitive, you could see after the game. But Phil Simms is in his corner, and I think Phil Simms was able to point out yesterday just how good Joe Flacco has become. So give Flacco credit. He's an up-and-coming quarterback. Personally, I thought he was very good early in his career, and I thought he had kind of leveled off recently. And he did play well yesterday. He played okay last week. I don't know that he played really well. But he did play okay. He was under siege. If you're under siege, what are you going to do? You can't throw the ball from the seat of your pants. You know that old expression. But now it's Patriots, Giants. That's all we'll focus on for the next, you know, week and a half or whatever it is. But give both teams a lot of credit. And I'll tell you what, the San Francisco 49ers aren't going anywhere. They have a good team. They've got some young talent. Their coach, you know, you might not, he's got like an edge to him. And you might not like that, but he turned this program around in 1 year. And that's a hard thing. You can do it in the NFL, but that's a hard thing to do. And again, his total confidence in Alex Smith, unbelievable. They'll be back. The Ravens, kind of a different entity. You think the Ravens are getting old, they're getting old, they're getting old, especially defensively, but they always make plays. The defense is not their weakness. The offense has to get a little better, and I think it's going to get a little better. Ray Rice only in his fourth year. He's a star. Joe Flacco getting better. I'm not going to say he's a star, but he's a good NFL quarterback. Becoming a very good NFL quarterback. He's not an elite NFL quarterback. Eli Manning has, I think, jumped into that category now. And again, this game, this next Super Bowl, is about defining legacies. Brady and Belichick considered one of the greatest combinations of all time. If they win another, I think they are the greatest. Had they won that Super Bowl against the Giants, they'd already be the greatest. Eli Manning, out of his brother's shadow, he and Coughlin, if they can get two Super Bowls together, they're both looking at the Hall of Fame. So there's a lot on the line in addition to the Super Bowl title for one season. There's a lot here in terms of the future, in terms of legacy, in terms of icons, in terms of all-time greats. And again, the Patriots are ahead of the Giants in that perspective in terms of Brady Belichick v. Manning Coughlin. But Manning Coughlin already lead Brady Belichick 1-0. And we're just going to have to see if it's going to be 2-0 or if the Patriots will be able to tie it up at 1. I want to switch now a somber note. I think it has to be talked about. I think it has to be discussed. I think you have to try and put Joe Paterno in perspective. Joe, and you know the story. Joe Paterno passed away Sunday morning about 9:30 in the morning or so. There had been reports late the night before that he had already died. The family vehemently came out and denied it. And those reports went, you know the way it is now, those reports went all over the world. You know, once upon a time, Winston Churchill said, a lie is halfway around, goes halfway around the world before the truth has the time to put its pants on. Well, nowadays it's even quicker. It goes around the world in a matter of seconds. And that's what happened with Joe Paterno. Everybody jumped on it. Everybody went with stories, obituaries, planned stories, etc. Now, he did wind up dying 10, 11, 12 hours later, whatever it was. But the family vehemently denied it Saturday night. He did pass away just before 9:30 Sunday morning at the age of 85. I don't really think this is a time to talk about the end. I really think it's a time to talk about the glorious career that this man had and what he did for college football. And what he did for college football was he showed up as an assistant coach in 1950 at Penn State. Born in Brooklyn, went to college, Brooklyn, New York, went to college at Brown. Shows up in 1950 as an assistant at Penn State, becomes the head coach in 1966, and he's the head coach for 46 years at Penn State. That in and of itself is a staggering accomplishment, but you know some of his other accomplishments. The all-time wins leader with 409 at the highest level of college football, 409 wins. First with the most bowl appearances, 37. First with the most bowl wins, 24. 24 and 13 in bowl games. That's pretty impressive. Five undefeated seasons. Two national championships. You recall back in, I think it was 87, when it was Penn State, the good guys, against the University of Miami, the bad guys. When it was Joe Paterno, the guy who did everything right, against Jimmy Johnson, the guy who was at least accused of doing everything wrong. Remember Miami walking out of the plane in their army fatigues? But Penn State was able to win that game. It really was viewed. It really was viewed. If you were around at the time, it was viewed as good against evil. And that might have been a little bit of over-dramatization, but Joe Paterno won that game. So again, first in wins, first in bowl appearances, first in bowl wins, five undefeated seasons, two national championships. A legacy that's second to none in the game of college football. Now the university, and again, we're not going to talk about the scandal, but that hangs over everything. Penn State has stated that it would honor Joe Paterno, but they don't just know how or when it's going to happen. So that's very interesting. Obviously, a lot of people went to the statue of Paterno on the campus of Penn State. There was kind of a gathering of a lot of mostly Penn State students. Tom Bradley, the interim coach, who is no longer the coach, Bill O'Brien of the Patriots, will be the new head coach. He stated that Joe Paterno taught me more life lessons than anyone other than my father. Bradley was there for about 30 years, unfortunately for him. And some of the other assistant coaches, they all had to be wiped out. They all had, Penn State, and I'm afraid I have to agree with this, Penn State needed a clean slate, and that's what they're doing. But it's not about that. It's about Joe Paterno today, and I hope for a while. You know, I think Mike Krzyzewski said it best. You know, Mike Krzyzewski, the coach of Duke, he's as close to Joe Paterno, I think, as they have in college basketball today. You know, they say nobody in any college sport can compare to Paterno. I think you have to put John Wooden there, and then you can have a conversation. But, again, that's for another time as well. But Coach K said it best. I thought he was very emotional, and he said, quote, he was talking about, you know, Paterno made one mistake, and then he said, quote, how can that negate six decades of amazing work, close quote. And I think that's a good way to look at it. Joe Paterno has an unbelievable legacy as a football coach and a man. There's no question that what happened with the whole Sandusky thing is going to tarnish that legacy to some degree. The real question is, how much will it tarnish it? And again, that's a question for another day. But you know the slogan for Joe Paterno's success with honor? Their team was always viewed to be above the other teams, the teams that would come off planes in fatigues. Although he did have his share, don't think Penn State didn't have players arrested, etc., over the years. But generally speaking, Penn State was viewed to be the program. If you were a straight-up kid, worked hard, kept your nose clean, Penn State was a good destination for you. So I say we honor Joe Paterno at least for the next week or so. What's happening in that Sandusky case is going to play out over weeks, months, and maybe even years. But Joe Paterno, the winningest coach of all time at the highest level of college football, passes away at the age of 85. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.